do battle, aren't you?
That was good.
If you have your Bibles, will you open them to the story? 1 Samuel 17. The Old Testament, 1 Samuel 17, as we look this morning in our series on faith at David, who had faith for the battle. As you open to 1 Samuel 17, I want us to read together a very important verse that I think gives us insight into understanding chapter 17. It's found in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Would you read it with me? 1 Samuel 16, 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." All my life, this has been one of my favorite stories in all the Word of God. I remember as a little boy, my grandmother gave me an old King James Bible. And it had maybe a dozen pictures or so throughout the text. And I remember that one of the pictures in that old King James Bible was the picture of David doing battle with Goliath. And David is standing there with a sling falling from his hand. And the stone has just hit the giant right between the headlights. And his knees are buckling and the spear is falling from his hand. And I still remember that picture that was in that old King James Bible and imagining what it would have been like to see that battle. The shepherd boy who did battle with a giant. The Bible says in the first couple of verses in 1 Samuel 17 that Israel and the nation of Philistia were doing battle. Actually, they weren't yet fighting. They'd drawn up their battle lines on both sides of the valley of Elah. And it was characteristic of the Philistines that they would jump over the border of their country, which was on the coast of the Mediterranean, and they would do little raiding parties on the villages of Israel and then go back into their country. And on one of these raiding parties, Saul and his army had gone out to meet them. The Bible says a unique thing took place in this battle. For in verse 4, it begins describing to us a warrior of the Philistine army. It gives great detail about his size and about how he was equipped for battle. You are to understand from the very careful description that the Bible gives us that this man was intimidating to death the Israelite army. It says a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was, and the Bible says, 6 cubits and a span. A cubit was the distance between a man's elbow and the tip of his middle finger. And a span was the distance between a man's thumb tip and the tip of his little finger as he spanned his hand. Rough guesstimates about this man's size is 9 feet 9 inches tall. Pituitary gland gone to seed. Here stands this 9 foot 9 inch giant named Goliath. And the Bible says here's the way he was dressed. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing about 125 pounds. Heavy canvas that was covered with scales of bronze that overlapped one another, and to put it on weighed 125 pounds. My guess is the shepherd boy who came out to do battle didn't weigh much over 125. The Bible says he also wore bronze greaves. These are leggings that covered the front of his legs. And the Bible says that he had a bronze javelin that was slung over his back, and his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and the iron point weighed 600 shekels, 15 plus If you've ever been on the wrong end of a 16-pound sledgehammer and you know how heavy that thing is to pick up and to drop on the target, imagine a man 9 feet 9 inches tall wearing 125 pounds of armor carrying a spear that looks like the shaft of a weaver's rod, and the point of this thing weighs over 15 pounds. And he can throw it. And you're supposed to be getting the idea this man was something to see. The Bible says at verse 8 that Goliath would go out and shout to the ranks of Israel and call for a representative battle. He says, in essence, I'm the champion of the Philistine army. You choose your champion and send him out and let's do battle. Winner take all. And the Bible says, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. The Bible says, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. The Bible says that this man didn't do this once. But if you'll read down at verse 16, he did it for 40 days, twice a day. Morning and evening, he would come out and shout this defiance to the ranks of Israel. Give me a man. Send out a man. I'm a man. You send out a man. Let's fight. Winner take all. But the scene shifts to a quiet little hamlet 15 miles away at Bethlehem. To Jesse's household. He's got 8 sons. And the first 3 sons are involved with Saul's army at the battle. Eliab, who's the oldest, and Abinadab, who's the second, and Shammah, who is the third, they're up there with Saul and his army. And I say doing battle guardedly because nobody's fighting yet. Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights, this man came and taunted them with his defiance. And the battle lines are drawn and they're shouting back and forth across the valley of Elah, their war cry, but nobody has done any fighting yet after 40 days. Well, Jesse wants to know how it is with his oldest sons. He assumes there's fighting going on. And so he calls in the youngest, the shepherd boy David, and he says, I want you to take these supplies and take them up to the army of Israel and check on your brothers. Bring me word. So the Bible says at verse 20, early in the morning, David loaded up his supplies and headed for the battle line. It says he reached camp as the army was going out to their battle positions, shouting the war cry. Folks, this is really kind of humorous. Tonight, 6:30, the Dallas Cowboys are supposed to play the St. Louis Cardinals. Can you imagine both teams lining up on both Phoenix Cardinals? And they're going to line up on both sides of the field and shout at one another, who's the best team? And then when they finish shouting at one another, they're going to go back and get on the bus and go home. That's what's happening for 40 days. They've been doing this. They're lining up on both sides of the valley and they're shouting the war cry, but nobody's fighting. Because this giant keeps calling for a representative to fight. The Bible says Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other, and David left his things with the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now picture this. The shepherd boy runs to the battle lines to see his brothers. As he's talking with his brothers, the giant calls up his defiance, and as the giant appears and starts up the hill, the Bible says the whole army retreated. And David is standing there by himself, wondering what's going on. Saul had come up with an ingenious plan to get a volunteer to fight. The incentive program he'd come up with, I think he probably added as he went along. He did the first one and that didn't work. Nobody volunteered, so he added a second and that didn't work, and so he added a third. First, the Bible says he offered great wealth to the man that would fight this giant and kill him. We don't know how much wealth that is, what the reward was on Goliath's head, but it was a lot because the Bible calls it great wealth. And that hadn't worked, and so he'd thrown in the second, my daughter in marriage. I have a feeling his daughter wasn't much to look at. And that hadn't worked. I mean, a man who goes and does battle with a giant and kills him gets great wealth and marries into the royal family. And no one had come forth. And so Saul added the biggie, the third one. No taxes. I won't comment on what might happen in this place if we asked for volunteers, if Billy Clinton said to you, no taxes. But even that hadn't worked. And the Bible says that as David listened to that and he asked the men around him what is going to be done about this thing, the Bible says in verse 26 that he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It is unthinkable that we would stand here and let this man shame the name of our God. It's unthinkable. Folks, you know that the giants in our lives come to us like Goliath did, not just once, but they just keep coming back over and over and over and over, and they shout their defiance into our lives, and we quiver and we shake in fear and we shrink back, and it defies our God. It brings shame and reproach on His name. David thought it unthinkable that no one would respond to this man's challenge. So as David is expressing himself, the Bible says his brother got really angry. Can I just parenthetically say that if you decide to live by faith, you're going to receive opposition, and sometimes that opposition comes from your own household. Husband, if you decide to live really by faith, you may get the flack from your wife that you never expected. Wife, you decide to live by faith, it could be that the greatest opposition you receive to living the life of faith comes from your husband, or from your children, or from your parents. So it was with David. It would have been tough enough to go out and do battle with this giant if he'd had everybody in the army pulling for him, but he's got his own brother on his neck. And the Bible says David's response to his brother was, what have I done now? Can I even speak? And he turns and walks away. Isn't it interesting, as someone has said, we can spend all of our energy and all of our time and all of our effort fighting and never get out from the ranks of the Christians? You know, one thing I appreciate about David, he remembered who the enemy was. He knew that the enemy wasn't his brother. It was Goliath standing down the hill. His brother didn't remember that. But David remembered it, and he refused to fight with him. And I wonder when you and I are going to learn that lesson and quit fighting with each other. The mate isn't the enemy. The parent, the child, that's not the enemy. Someone who's making trouble in your life, he's not the real enemy. But David remembered who the enemy was. Well, you know that after 40 days and nights of being embarrassed by this man's defiance, when someone all of a sudden makes sounds like he might fight, you know that word is going to go through the camp immediately, and they bring word to Saul. We got somebody who volunteered. Bring him to me. 40 days, twice a day, Saul has been embarrassed to tears about this defiance. And all of a sudden, somebody is saying, I'll fight. And Saul says, bring him in. And they bring in David. David says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul makes that critical mistake we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He made his judgment on the basis of outward appearance. He took one look at this little shepherd boy, ruddy, red face, not even shaving yet. He took one look at this little shepherd boy who had a staff in his hand and a sling. And he makes the judgment. There is no way you can fight this giant. He says, you're just a boy. And this guy you're going up against has been a warrior from his youth. You can't do that. You know, something else. When you decide you're going to do battle with your giant, somebody's going to come along and whisper in your ear, you can't win this thing. David has to sell the king. It wasn't like the king had a line at his tent of people volunteering to fight. It wasn't like, you know, there were 10 or 12 out there saying, well, I'll fight. No, let me fight. I'll fight. There was no one but David. And David says, I'll fight him. And Saul says, you can't win this. And David has to sell him. He says, you know, the bear and the lion attacked my flock and killed them both with my bare hands. And the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is going to deliver me from this Philistine. And Saul, rather cliche-like, says to David, well, go and the Lord be with you. I got to tell you, that makes me angry. He didn't believe the Lord was going to be with him. If he did, Saul would have taken up the battle. If you remember the Bible's description about Saul, he was head and shoulders taller than anyone in Israel. If there was anyone big and strong and bad looking, it had to be Saul. But Saul isn't going to do that. And so he rather cliche says, well, go ahead and the Lord be with you. Then he dressed David in his own tunic and he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on the sword over the tunic and went walking around. Tried walking around because he wasn't used to it. Saul tries to put his armor on David. Here's Saul, head and shoulders taller than anyone in Israel. He's a 52 long, trying to put on David, the shepherd boy, 36 regular, his armor. And it didn't work. And David tries walking around. You can almost see this Saul's helmet clunk down on his head. Boom, you know. Why is it, I wonder, that we're always trying to impose our armor on someone else? Why is it that sometimes we decide that we've got to impose our way of doing things on someone else when it doesn't fit them? You know, one of the reasons I fully respect David in this deal is not because he was willing to do battle with the giant, but that he was willing to stand against his own king and say, I'm not going to go fight in your armor. That doesn't fit me. I'm going to go do battle with what I'm used to and what's comfortable with me. And he takes off all the armor and strips down to his Hebrew fruit of the looms, and he's ready to do battle with the giant. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. It says about David, he took his staff in his hand, shepherd's staff, and he took 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Goliath says in verse 42, as he looked at David and saw he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, he despised him. And he said, am I a dog that you come out to do battle with sticks? As he looked on this boy and he thinks, what kind of a battle is this going to be? He comes not with a sword, not with a spear, not with a bow and arrow. He comes with a staff in one hand and a sling in the other. You see, he made the critical mistake Saul had made. He looked at the outward appearance and made his judgment. And it was a fatal mistake. Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin. I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he says in verse 47, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. And now it's all set up. All of the preliminary stuff is set for the battle that's about to happen. It occurred to me years ago, I wonder how many gave David a chance at winning. On either side, Israel or Philistine. I wonder as this shepherd boy goes out to meet this giant, I wonder how many of them thought how quick this is going to be over. And I wondered what his brothers thought as they stood there watching their little brother walk out to do battle with a 9-foot-9-inch warrior. I wonder what they were thinking and what they were feeling. And then quickly, it's over. As the Philistine moved closer to attacking, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, and reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, right between the headlights. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. And David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. And David ran and stood over him. And he took out the Philistine sword and drew it from the scabbard. And he cut off his head with the sword. And when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. And the people of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. I mean, for miles and miles, there were corpses of Philistine soldiers laying all over the ground, because suddenly with David's victory, the rest of the soldiers are encouraged. They do battle. The Bible says in verse 54, David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. There are two or three things about this story I think we need to remember. One, don't make Goliath's mistake. Don't get caught underestimating the power of what faith can do. You see, you and I have to do battle with our giants from time to time, and so many times we underestimate what the power of faith can do when we go up against our giants. The problem looks so big and humongous and overwhelming. We look at the outward appearance and we fail to look at the power of what faith can do. Trouble. Don't make Goliath's mistake. For as you have to do battle with your giant, you just remember you go in the power of God. And not on your own power. It's interesting to me that as the shepherd boy goes out to do battle, he is totally unintimidated by the size of the giant. I've thought about that through the years, and I guess I've boiled it all down to one statement. As all of Israel is running in fear, intimidated by the size of this giant, it seems to me, this is the truth. That David was not intimidated by the size of the giant because he was so impressed with the size of his God. The giant looked so huge and overwhelming to the people of Israel, but they forgot the size of their God who had given them this land to begin with. David never forgot that his God was bigger than any giant. Folks, we need to remember that. Romans. And maybe the central truth of the whole story is this. In the power of God, go out and slay some. You take on your giant in his power. You see, that giant that you and I have to face may not be a 9-foot-9-inch Philistine warrior. Nevertheless, it stands and looms and tempts us and threatens us in our life. It may be fear, that just keeps coming back and keeps us from doing and being what God wants us to be. It may be anger that boils up and explodes on somebody over and over and over, and we just can't quite seem to get control of it. It may be a tongue that is sharp and abusive that punishes people, or it may be filthy and profane that causes everyone to wince when you open your mouth. Listen, you take on your giant with the power of God. It may be some habit that just keeps recurring. It may be some addiction that has got you so much under its power. It may be some recurring sin that keeps coming back, some lust that keeps coming back, some desire for more, the greed that has to possess your life. Listen, take on your giant this morning, knowing you don't go in your own power, but that the battle is the Lord's. Go in the power of God this morning and slay them. Let's pray. Father, all of us have a Goliath of some sort in our lives this morning. Something that intimidates us, something that causes us failure, something that comes back to mock us over and over again. God, thank you for this shepherd boy who saw your bigness so clearly. Oh God, help us to see your incredible power at work in us. Thank you for the